It's the state of Victorian greyhound racing and the stories behind the sport. This is RSN 927's Off the Leash.
Georgie Ferrugia, hello to you.
G'day, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. The big story in the thoroughbred world today was William Pike heading to Sydney to commence his career, because you don't have to be double vaccinated to compete in New South Wales. But it's the other codes as well, some big names in WA that don't want to be vaccinated. And from February 5, if you're not vaccinated in the West, you don't have a you won't be licensed. David Hobby's the biggest name in the game when it comes to greyhound racing, along with Linda Britton and Chris Hulse. But he's set to walk away from the game, they're telling me, Georgie. You've got some more news on this.
Yeah, there's just reports that they're selling a lot of their stock, Gareth, which is a bit of a seismic shift for WA Greyhounds, to be honest, because like you say, you know, Linda Britton and Chris Hulse have been, you know, the probably the leaders for many, many years. But David Hobby has taken that mantle and been incredible over the last couple of years. I mean, everyone would see the Minnelli dogs running around, but not only in his own state. I mean, we seen Sunset Spitfire briefly in Victoria. Zach Minnelli come down here and do very, very well. Dave's got an unbelievable line of very, very good chasers. And, yeah, I think his decision is not to vaccinate. So he's going to walk away, which is a big thing. I mean, you were in WA for a long time, Gareth. You've seen the magnitude of his team. And I think he's only got bigger. His last couple of years have been incredible, winning millions of dollars and having a really good strike rate as well for a trainer. So it's interesting. It'll leave a gaping hole for Greyhounds WA, that's for sure.
Because he not only is he the leading trainer, but he's got so many well-bred dogs over there. So I would imagine a lot of the eastern state trainers would be looking at that particular breed and say, well, we need to get involved in this.
Well, you're right. I mean, he's one of those trainers that has stock from when they're born right up until when they retire. I mean, he's not one of those guys who predominantly gets his greyhounds after they're broken in and they break in well and then Dave takes over. A lot of them are from the breed. Obviously, Michael Quincy is one of his leading owners behind him, but Dave also has a lot that he owns himself and his son as well. So, yeah, it's quite interesting. But again, everyone's got a right to their own choice, I suppose. And as I said, I'm sure there'll be a few of those female chasers that are going to be pretty well sought after in the coming days.
Would you buy, like, so can you get into the Minnelli breed then if you want?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And I'm sure if that's the case, look, Dave would probably be, I can't speak on his behalf, but I'd say he'd have a figure in mind for some of those females, and I believe some of them have already been sold. So, okay. It's going to be an interesting space to see what happens and whether these COVID rules continue, whether David eventually comes back to the sport. I don't know what he's thinking, but it would be good to get an interview from David, but I believe...
Good luck.
Fairly elusive. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. More chance of catching up with William Pike these days than David Hobby, but I'll have a crack. I'll see what I can do. Gareth Hall, George Ferrugia. This is Off the Leash here on this Tuesday on RSN Central. We're just having a chat about that news coming out of the West with David Hobby walking away from the sport and selling most of his breed at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, George. So it's a watch this space. Basically, if you're not double vaccinated by February 5, you can't hold a license in the West. Is there any of David's family members, or is there an assistant trainer that could take over, or is he just completely shutting up shop?
From what I've heard, and again, this is secondhand, so unless we get Dave on to fully explain, it's kind of hard. But from what I can understand, a lot of the stock from the best to the worst will be for sale. So if that's the case, it doesn't seem like they've got something in place where a family member might want to take over. So yeah, it's just interesting because, as we said, Dave's been so successful. It's fantastic. Zach Minnelli, when he came to Victoria, Gareth, you would have seen the greyhound. He was breaking sectional records at the Meadows that were once held by the likes of Miata and you know, Zylia Allen and Tornado Tears and these type of dogs. He is a seriously, seriously fast greyhound. We never got to see the best of Sunset Spitfire. He had a greyhound called Flake Minnelli, who was arguably the fastest stayer in the country at one stage when she was going well. So, It's going to be interesting. There are a lot of pups that are still probably at a young age too, Gareth. So there's a lot of stock there to get through. The inventory's going to be, they'll be going through it dog by dog. So it'll be pretty interesting.
What did you make of the Warrigal Cup there on the weekend, George?
Yeah, I just keep coming back to trainer Kayla Cottrell. I just love the fact that, and again, we mentioned yesterday, Gareth, not every greyhound is going to be able to be trained to hop out of a box quickly. Some of them are possessed with the ability, but she seemingly has the ability to bring it out of them if it's there. And he set up the race with a really quick beginning and was too good, defeating Kinson Bale. And Kayla's had a really, really good time of it recently. I think she's won six of the last eight races. She had a greyhound called Divine Empress, who ironically probably didn't begin all that well. Who started favourite in the Laurels and absolutely blew them away at Bendigo in 23.46, Gareth. She's got a massive future as well. So Kayla's got a very, very good team behind her. And I'm just rapt to see this young brigade of trainers come through. We've seen it in a while. Probably Corey Grenfell and Sam Grenfell probably flew the flag. I don't think either of those have reached the age of 30 yet. So there's a really good team of young greyhound trainers across the country.
Yeah, it's terrific, isn't it, for the sport? Because there's so much money that can be made in greyhound racing if you get your business set up right and you get the right dogs into your kennel and you maybe team up with a big owner, that you can make a really good living out of greyhound racing with the prize money now, George.
Yeah, and as I said, there are plenty of good trainers out there, but we're highlighting Kayla at the moment because of her recent success in the Warrigal Cup and the fact that she's seemingly able to get these greyhounds to get out and give themselves every chance to win a race by getting them out of the box. And as we know, Gareth, if you can lead, I think 70% of greyhounds that can lead around that first quarter end up winning.
Gareth Hall, George Ferrugia with you. We're talking all things greyhound racing. So Kayla Cottrell's a star and she's kicking plenty of goals like so many other young trainers in Victoria at the moment, Georgie. But the Victorians, can we get the job done in the Paws of Thunder? Do it. Geez, he's a greyhound that you can't underestimate. He performs well nearly at every start, and he's never really far away. Now, he's the $3.50 second favourite in this race behind Wow at $3, Bandit Net at $4.80. And then we go to Irinka Riley at $6. How do you assess this year's Paws of Thunder?
Yeah, look, and he's the lone Victorian, really, there. So we often get a few more in. Look, I thought his run was outstanding. He was the quickest heat winner, Gareth, in 29.59. And as we discussed yesterday, the key to do it at the moment, Gareth, is that he's beginning a lot better. There was a stage in his career where he was getting to the first corner at Sandown and the Meadows and around the 5.15, 5.20 mark. And as you go up in grade, unless you're a hooked-on Scotch finisher or these type of greyhounds, well, you're just not going to run down dogs that are breaking 30 out in front. He seemingly rectified that issue more recently, and he did that at Wentworth Park. He seems to jump okay there, and he's drawn well. I think there's a great deal of early speed around him. Jungle Juice has drawn box four, and what a tremendous heat win that was too. I mean, he won a group final over 600 metres at Albion Park, comes back down to 500. It seems to have just zapped him up a little bit because his run was fantastic. I'm just a little bit concerned about where he's going to sit on that first corner. Wow's the favourite, and I think the general consensus, Gareth, is that he's going to find the top, and if he does that, it'll be a brave man to suggest that anything can run Wow down if he's at his best. And look, he wasn't far off it. He ran 29.7. He got into a bit of trouble on the first corner. That mid-race acceleration is outstanding. So if he's able to find the top, he'd be the greyhound to beat. I think Connections of Bandit Ned would go in with a little bit of confidence too, Gareth, because we haven't seen a lot of him. You'd think he'd improve a lot from the run. I know Quara Bale isn't racing as the Quara Bale we know and hasn't been for some time, but he blew her away down the back straight and was just too good for her and raced away from her. So he's a chance as well. A couple of the other greyhounds. Probably the value in the race is the pink in Chase Me Honey at around $12 because her line of work in the last 4 to 6 weeks has been outstanding. Yes, this is a bit of a step up in class for her, but I think she's the value runner at $12. I'm sticking with Do It from the inside. I just think if he begins as cleanly, he should be able to get some fresh air from box two and be hard to beat. But be a brave man, obviously, to tip against the likes of Wow and Bandit Ned, the two local heroes along with Jungle Juice.
Yeah, so it's a little bit disappointing the Victorian Greyhounds never really fired there last week in the heats. that rivalry that we're building up between New South Wales and Victoria, Georgie, it's sort of like, yeah, they would be laughing at me right at this moment, Georgie. I feel like I've been let down by the Vics.
No, look, it's always – look, we're racing on their turf, and I don't think there's ever been a question mark that their greyhounds are just as fast. Look, a couple of their greyhounds didn't get through. Probably two of the Zipping Dogs were the biggest surprise for me. Zipping Curios just went down, and Zipping Kansas, who defeated Wow in the Group 3 Christmas Gift, running 29.40. We haven't seen a run like that in a while. Both of those greyhounds went down. Probably the big one for Victoria was Aston Rupee, and we discussed this yesterday, Gareth. He just looked like he lacked a little bit of drive to that first corner. He got himself skittled, and he was never in contention after that. Hopefully we see Aston Rupee bounce back pretty quickly when he returns to the Meadows next week. But, yeah, look, there's three big races. Hopefully the Vics can do it in the summer distance plate. One of the National Draft Greyhounds, Untapped, Gareth, goes around, and she's the equal $3 favourite with Stanley Road. She was fantastic in her heat. She jumped to the front and gave Nothing Else a chance. Mapunga Ruby is obviously a big chance at $4.50. Hank the Hustler returned to form in his old age at $4.40, drawn off box two. So that's an interesting final. And we also have the finals of the National Derby and the National Futurity. So a huge night of racing with three Group 1s and a Group 2 at Wentworth Park on Saturday night.
Any Derby contenders that might really make a statement later on in the year?
I like the run of Zara's Ivan, finished behind a greyhound that I own in Boston Garden, Gareth. But
and
Zara's
it's a star Ivan, Boston Garden, they tell me too, Georgie.
Yeah, look, we're just drawn pretty poorly off box eight, to be honest, Gareth. I just, as I said, Zara's Ivan, I know the Daily's come out in an interview and said they hadn't trialled the dogs there, and Zara's really stuck on well with us in 29.79, and if he gets clear running, it'd be hard to beat. Obviously, I'll be cheering for my dog, but also my cousin's dog, Emily, as a party's got Slingshot Jonesy going through off box one in the final. His heat win was really gutsy as well. I think of the local greyhounds, Gareth, locally trained now, Persuasive, who is a Victorian dog. I think there's some upside there for sure as well. So it's a fairly open final. There's four of the eight under double figures. When we go to the Futurity, I think that's where the Victorians will really come to play. Idolise, obviously, we've seen her take out of Laurels, and Preta Prosciutto goes there with some very good chances there. Ritza Donna is a greyhound who has won at Group 1 level, taking out the Dapto Megastars. Is it $3.50? Is it second favourite? Just a little bit of a tricky box draw. And Yuko Girl, who's Victorian-owned, Nick Delaroche owns her. Good luck to Nick. But she's been racing well at Wentworth Park recently. But Idolise, you'd expect with her speed, Gareth, to be the one to beat in the Futurity.
And some changes to the three invitational races at the Meadows coming up in February, George. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, probably the major change is the fact that they're asking people to nominate greyhounds that they think would be good enough to go in those races. I mean, essentially, it's still going to be a panel that's going to pick. But I think what it does is just eliminate those greyhounds that probably won't be ready. They're injured or they've come on season or whatever it is. I mean, we straight away knock out those greyhounds. We see so often people saying, well, why wasn't this greyhound picked in the final eight? And sometimes the answer would come back, well, they didn't accept their first round nomination. So that's probably a good thing there. As we said, there's still going to be some conjecture in the final fields, Gareth. But now we're going to have a top 12. And from that top 12, then the selection panel will pick their top eight. Which allows for scratchings in the lead up to the race, and dogs can still sort of make their way up on the list. So it's going to be an interesting time. I think there's going to be some changes to a consolation race for Australian Cup night, but really looking forward to seeing some of these New South Wales greyhounds that we speak of, Gareth, take on Victorians back in our home state. And it'll be really interesting to see how we go over the three distances.
Yep, that will be interesting. Do you enjoy the invitational races?
I love them, Gareth. I think
there's
a really
you should be the man who has to pick them, Georgie.
Oh, absolutely not. No way. But I love the fact, a lot of people say, oh, I love the heat and final situation of Melbourne Cups. Absolutely. Nobody's changing a Melbourne Cup. Nobody's changing an Australian Up. You've got to deserve your spot to get in. But I love that greyhounds that have had such a great time of it at a group level get an opportunity to race for another Group 1. I think they've deserved their spot in there. Yes, there is always conjectures in for positions 6, 7 and 8, and you and I have had conversations about a few of those greyhounds, and I'm sure we will in the next month, Gareth. But I think it's great that we try to pit the best eight greyhounds against each other based on their group efforts. So I know your theories around, wow, she's fast last year and in the lead up to that.
I was right in the end.
Well,
you haven't patted me on the back saying that I was right.
No, I don't. I still think based on...
She did win a Phoenix.
Absolutely. There's no doubt of her ability, but they had to pick it on group form and she hadn't even made a group final at that stage.
But, I understand that you got your criterias there, Georgie, but the whole idea of invitational races is to make them the most interesting races in the country.
Okay.
You get to choose that. I understand where you're coming from with the criteria. But if you get to choose your own race, you choose the race, the greyhounds that will provide the biggest X factor and will get people talking and, more importantly, will get people punting on the sport.
So I suppose then it comes back to what you've always said, Gareth, that it's not so much that they got it wrong with who they picked. It's more that you'd want to see the criteria change, where perhaps you want to see seven of the greyhounds picked on their group efforts and then have an X factor greyhound. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So yeah, if that's the case, then it lends itself to a greyhound that could come out and run 20. Say a greyhound comes out at its third race start and runs 28.75 at Sandown. You'd want to see it in a race like that. So I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm disagreeing with is that the fact that I think they still stuck to their guns in what they had to pick, and Wow She's Fast hadn't fit the criteria. But that would make, if you set those rules, Gareth, then I think people would just accept it and let's go from there.
I think the rules are going to allow that one X factor dog, one dog that, and it, you know what, it might not happen each and every year. It might change because you don't get a Wow She's Fast do what she did on debut there at Sandown. So you might not have an X Factor dog that fits or doesn't fit into the criteria that you set down for. And it might only happen once every 2 to 3 years. But boy, it's exciting when it does.
Absolutely. And I'm happy for all this innovation. I think that's why the Phoenix works, Gareth, because you can't sit still with any sport. I think you've always got to be looked to try to make it as entertaining as possible. So it's going to be an interesting month because it's just so jam-packed, Gareth. We've got obviously the series going on at Wentworth Park at the moment, and then we move on to the interest goes back to the Meadows and then back to Wentworth Park for the Golden Easter Egg and $1 million race. It's crazy.
And just,
it's the best time to be involved in grain racing.
And
really
just
is.
Quickly, we only got a minute before Devonport, but I couldn't believe the news that Ash Baker was moving on from the Meadows. We haven't really had a chat about this.
Yeah, you were away, Gareth, when that happened. That was a shock for me too, because I think he's one of those guys that's really forward thinking.
Yeah, an innovator,
And he did a really good job with that Phoenix, but he also, from what I can gather, was great at listening to participants, and he understood that there would be changes needed for the Phoenix for year two. And he put his hand up to that, and I thought he handled the situation great. That's a big loss for the Meadows. They've had two very good leaders. Marg Long she's a Hall of Fame administrator, there's no doubt. Ash came in and I think was seamless, but added a different view coming from a horse racing background. Yeah. So that's a big appointment, Gareth. That is a really big appointment. Who steps into that seat?
Yeah, it is a big job. Yeah, I thought that maybe, he would move on and stay in the sport. But, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. But he's done a wonderful job. So well done to Ash Baker. He'll be sorely missed. Good on you, Georgie. Thanks for that.
Talk soon.